Breaking Unbelief, the podcast that challenges your mind. Welcome to the Breaking Unbelief podcast. This is Nick Daniels. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Good. Well, Tim, as it turns out today, you are acting as a guest and not just the co-host of this podcast. And we'll be talking about your new book series for young adults, The Truth Chronicles. So, Tim, why don't you introduce us to your co-author?
All right, I'd be happy to. My co-author for this series is a good friend of mine named Joe Westbrook. We've been good friends for about 10 years now, and Joe has some exciting news. This last weekend, he just got engaged. So he's pretty happy right now, and you'll probably pick that up as he's answering questions. But Joe works at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and he is responsible for making sure that people get I don't know if I can say this right, clean or pure blood for their blood transfusions. So he does kind of an important role there. And so I don't know what else to say about Joe other than that.
Perfect. Welcome, Joe.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tim. It's good to be here.
Awesome. So, guys, tell us about the Truth Chronicles. What's this series about?
Well, Nick, the Truth Chronicles is so far it's three books, and it follows the adventures of four teenagers from one of the world's top science academies. They're sophomores, and when two of them invent a time machine, they go on an adventure that is beyond their wildest imaginations. They think that because they see dinosaurs when they travel back in time, they think that they are millions of years in the past, and through the course of events, they find out that things aren't always what they seem. And one of the characters, when two young ladies get involved in the story as well, and one of the girls is a Christian, and throughout the series she is trying to defend her faith, she's trying to witness to her friends, and so we're able to work in a lot of apologetic arguments into the story, but it's in the context of an action adventure story. So it's a lot of fun, and it's been a very entertaining way to teach apologetics to young people.
Awesome. So Joe, how do you decide to collaborate with Tim on this project? And tell us, why did you write a book for teens?
Well, a few years ago, Tim posed this idea to me. He'd come up with an idea for a graphic novel along the same concept of what we put out forth in book form. And I thought, well, this is a really neat idea. Well, he presented the idea, well, what if we wrote this as a book instead? You know, instead of a comic, let's write it as an actual piece of prose. So I took the script that Tim had come up with for his comic book idea and began taking the dialogue and setting it into actual settings in prose form. So I started, like I said, adding in scenery and everything else, and we started sending things back and forth through email, adding bits and pieces of chapters, editing each other. But since Tim was already published and at that point with a couple of books, the thought on my part too is, a collaborative effort would give me a stronger chance, hopefully, of getting published and, maybe getting my own legs underneath me for writing in the future. As for writing a book for teens, if you look at the market for Christian fiction, there really doesn't seem to be a whole lot that comes out for the teenage group. You find stuff for younger children, and you find things for young adults, upper teens, getting close to getting out of high school, and in adult fiction, but there's not a whole lot that falls into the middle school age group. And that to us seemed like a real prime market to target. There just seems to be a big void. And the few resources that are out there, and I mean no disrespect to any of the authors that have written anything in this for this age group, but we wanted to do something more than just a story, and we wanted to give kids something else that they could, something that would be beneficial for their faith. And so we saw that there was a void there that we thought that we could fill.
So you want to fill this void of teens reading about faith issues, but where do you get the idea of teens traveling through time, Tim?
Well, the idea for the entire series actually came from one of my students. He liked to draw the this Japanese style of art manga, which I think we're going to talk about a little bit later on. And he would draw pictures for the different kids in our school, and he would manga-ize them. And he did such a good job with them. And I thought, you know, the kids really like this style of artwork. It sure would be neat to see something like this in the Christian market, something with a style of art that the kids like, but also teach them a lot of the things that were on my heart. And at the time, I was teaching science classes, and I've also been a Bible teacher for several years. And I taught a creation science class, and I thought, you know, it would be neat to incorporate a lot of these things that I teach kids, a lot of these apologetic issues, in an exciting story, and using this style of art. And like Joe said, at first it started off as an idea for a graphic novel, but I can't draw a stick figure, so there's no way I could do it, and I couldn't hire an artist to do all of those pictures either. And so when Joe had the idea of putting it in novel form, it worked out pretty well. But the time travel idea actually came from several years ago. I watched a movie, and it was a Christian film, and I can't exactly remember the name of it, actually, but at the very end, the guy was going to – he had a time machine, and he was going to try to go into the future to see when Christ's return was, and I think he pressed 100 years into the future or something like that, and the machine didn't work. In a sense, it was saying, you know, Christ is going to return before that. And I thought, you know, that would be kind of interesting to apply to the past. And in what we've done in the book is, you know, the kids try to go back millions of years into the past, and the machine doesn't work. And they don't realize why the machine doesn't work. And the reason is because there never was millions of years ago. And so when they try the next night, when they try to go back just 4,500 years to see the pyramids, it works. But the world that they visit is much different than what they expected, because they have an evolutionary worldview rather than a biblical worldview. And that comes out in the course of the stories.
Well, you have mentioned a film about time travel, and I'm sure you watch a lot of those, and there are some sources, and I know you mentioned some of those in your book. What are those sources that you have some influence from?
Well, if I can just go back real quick, I believe that the movie Tim was referencing is called The Time Changer.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
So I'm pretty sure that's where that came from. Mm-hmm. And we did make mention in the book directly to the Back to the Future movies, you know, real solid classic time travel movies there. I can't think of specific titles otherwise, but I certainly have seen several movies that have incorporated time travel to some degree or another. But I know for me personally, science fiction is one of my favorite genres of movie to watch. So all sorts of science fiction things, just in general, kind of have a play. Or had a play when we were getting this book put together.
All right, and for me, you know, I'm also a sci-fi fan and a fan of a lot of these time travel movies, and so I thought it would be fun to use a lot of references and maybe some direct quotes and maybe indirect ones as well from these movies. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that is because if you listen to kids and how they talk today, and it's not just kids, adults do this too, but kids especially, when a lot of times they use what I call movie speak. You know, they are, mm-hmm. When they're talking, just in their conversation, they quote movies to each other because there's a line that they both thought was funny, and so they'll use it. And so we thought, you know, our kids in the books could do that. And there's other times where we throw it in. So you'll see things like Joseph from Back to the Future. You'll find stuff from the Star Wars movies. And sometimes they're just, you know, minor references. They're a little bit obscure, so they don't just really stand out. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is, I don't know if I should admit this, but was one of my favorite movies when I was in high school. that might tell you about my lack of maturity level in high school. but you'll also find things from like Timeline and Galaxy Quest and just all sorts of things. If you look closely or if you're familiar with those movies, you'll catch little bits from there, and it'll give you a good laugh.
Okay, but besides laughs, you have a message that you want to get across to teens. What is it?
Well, one of the messages, or part of the message we wanted to get across to teenagers, is that, one, it is okay to have questions when it comes to matters of faith. Questioning things, having doubts, and then seeking out the answers to those things are, you know, one of the key ways that you can grow in your faith. But we also wanted to demonstrate that there are answers. you know, you'll see throughout the book, and we tried not to make it so that one character in particular was answering all of the questions. We didn't want this character to come off as some sort of, you know, smarty pants know-it-all. You know, we did pose questions, and, you know, it's let other people take, you know, take their turn at answering them. A lot of teenagers today, you know, they think there's no such thing as absolute truth. Everything is relative. You know, we wanted to show, no, there are absolute truths, that, you know, there are things that we can know. There are things that we do need to take on faith, you know, but, you know, from the Christian perspective with the Bible, you know, if God says it, you know, there it is. You know, so that was, you know, I mean, that was all elements. So those were all elements that we wanted to incorporate into the overall message of the book, besides telling just kind of a fun story.
Right. And let me just share real quick an email that I got from a woman who's got three kids that are going through the books right now. They've got the first two. And here's what she said. And I think it encourages me, and because it helps me realize that we accomplished what we set out to do. She said, "What I love about your writing is it gives kids and adults an awesome tool for discussing and sharing Christianity. I believe one of the greatest gifts we can offer our kids and ourselves is the knowledge, understanding, and confidence to articulate their faith. And your books do that in a fun and exciting way. Readers are learning, while being entertained, very practical ways to defend, discuss, and live out their Christian faith. What a blessing these books will be for so many." And that was, like I said, it was very encouraging to me, because some of the issues we cover are things that a lot of times the church tells us, you know, don't worry about those things. You know, how do you see light from distant stars if the, you know, if the Bible, or if the earth is only as young as the Bible says it is? And, you know, how do you deal with the charges that Christianity is intolerant, and that, you know, it says that there's no other way to God, and it just doesn't seem fair, and those kind of things. And, but also a lot of the most asked questions about the Bible, and particularly the creation evolution and the age of the earth issue, you know, like who was Cain's wife and what do you do with dinosaurs in the Bible, those kind of things, those all come out in the course of the stories. But again, I don't think that they really bog them down at all. They're done in the midst of the adventure. And so it was kind of a unique way, but a fun way to do it.
Right. You don't expect a teenager to read a nonfiction book about answers about the most asked questions about the Bible, but it's easier for them to read a novel. Just changing gears a little bit here, obviously, you have given some thought to the issue of time travel, and I'm sure you know all the physics of time travel by now, right?
Absolutely.
Sure.
We won't bore our listeners.
In fact, I got a time machine right here in my basement. So,
so Tim, I just want to ask you, you've written some other books about theology, and I know you're a student of theology. What do you think are the implications, the theological implications of time travel?
Well, I'll start by saying I don't think that it's possible for humans to do it. Obviously, I believe that God is outside of time, and he is capable of doing that if he wished, although it wouldn't really be travel for him, but because he's everywhere. But for man to do it, I think there would be some problems. One of the things that we know from Scripture is that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. And we also know that he knows everything that is going to happen in this world, and he already has his plan in place, so that each step along the way, he knows what he needs to do at that time. So if people could time travel, let's say from the 21st century back to the time of Christ or something like that, and they had to do something, that would, in a sense, that was as if God didn't know that he needed to take care of that in the first century. And so he had to have somebody in the 21st century come back and do that for him. And, you know, somebody could say, well, maybe he just worked that into his plan as well. But it just seems to create more problems. So I really don't think that it's possible, even though it sure makes for a fun you know, device in storytelling, which is probably why it's so common in storytelling.
Right. And just you mentioned before, and I see on the cover and the inside of the books, you have some manga illustrations. And manga, for those who don't know, are these like Japanese anime characters. Why manga? And what has been the feedback from your readers?
Well, I mentioned a little bit ago, the main reason for manga was that it's so popular with young people. Now, not every young person sees it. When I showed a couple of the girls in my youth group the cover for the first one, they're like, oh, that looks like Pokemon. I'd never read that. But you know what? Most of the kids said, oh, yeah, I'd like that. I'd look at that. And so I knew there was going to be mixed responses. And there were a couple of reasons why I chose it. One, it's eye-catching. It gets people's attention. And of course, you want that on the cover of your book. You want it to draw people's attention. Secondly, I like it. I think it's a neat art style, but the main reason is because so much of what's out there in manga is absolute filth. It's garbage, and so much of it is just terrible stuff. And for the kids who enjoy that art style, there's really nothing for them. And so we thought, you know what, why don't we use this style of art? And I found a Christian artist. In fact, her website, if I can plug it here, is christianmanga.com. Mm-hmm. And she runs the site, and I contacted her, and she said, yeah, I'd love to do it. And she was fantastic to work with, and I think she did an awesome job on the artwork, not only on the cover illustrations, but also the illustrations in the books. And I think it's a neat way to enhance the story. And the reaction so far, the feedback from readers, I've had a few people, you know, I've gone to a couple of different conferences and sold books, and a few people kind of strayed away from it. You know, they looked at it, and you could tell, they thought, well, that manga stuff, I'm not going to look at that. But for the most part, people came up and looked at it and said, oh, this is cool, I really like this stuff. And so for the most part, it's been positive. But, you know, I knew going in that it was going to turn some people off and other people would be attracted to it. And that's just the way we are. But I think I remember hearing a lecture a while back, and actually it was by somebody we interviewed on this program, Nick, Carl Kirby, talked about how we should use the talents that God has given us to glorify Him. And I was happy to see that our artist, Melissa, had done that through manga, and I wanted to help expand that in these novels as well.
Yeah, I think they look great, and the colors are very powerful, and as you say, they attract the kids to this kind of books. So I know you're giving some books away, so I want you to talk about them. And for other people, where can our listeners buy the books?
Well, there are a few different areas where you can buy them. They're available from the website risenfiction.com. They're also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Tim's ministry at MidwestApologetics.org has them available. If you know me personally, if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you can also buy them directly from me. I'm sure that there will be other sources forthcoming, but for right now, those five sources are kind of the main ones that I'm aware of.
Right, and they are available at retailers. I mean, if you go to your local store, they can order them. Nick, you mentioned the contest, and yeah, we are offering a contest, and that is a free signed copy of book two, and also we're going to be doing that with book three as well when that is out, which will be in about a week. In fact, the Amazon Kindle version is available today. The contest is, we talked earlier about quoting or referencing all these different sci-fi movies, and we're picking a particular reference or quote in book one, and whoever guesses that one and emails us on Facebook, you know, if you go to Facebook and you go to the Truth Chronicles group page or fan page, become a fan of it, and then just, there's a discussion tab on there, go to the discussion tab and type your guess, and if you get it right, we'll give you a copy of book two, and then we'll do the same thing with giving away a copy of book three by finding the reference or quote in book two. So if you're confused by my directions there, look on the discussions tab of the Truth Chronicles page on Facebook, and it will give you all the directions again.
So basically, people have to read book one and find a reference to something, and then if they answer correctly, they get a signed copy of book two, right?
That's right, and we'll see the guesses already posted on the discussion tab, and you'll know which one it isn't, you know, if people haven't gotten it by then. So.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for sharing this information, and I wish you the best with your books.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thanks, Nick.